ever have someone tell you, oh, go outside and find something to do? Is it something you might struggle to get your kids or grandkids to do now? Well, Caro Webster is an author and award-winning blogger, and she has actually put together a book on trying to help kids find wonder in the everyday. Good morning, Caro. How are you?
I'm good, Ali. How are you?
I'm okay, but are we in a pretty sad state of affairs that we need a book to be able to reconnect and teach our children to reconnect to nature and the everyday?
I don't think we're in a sad position, but certainly I think with the rush and busyness of our lives, it's easy to fall into the trap of never stopping. And when we don't stop, we're always doing and overstructuring our time rather than just spending time doing nothing, which is a highly underrated activity. Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, that structuring, I think, is really interesting. Because
yeah, I mean, it seems counterintuitive, doesn't it, to say we need to structure in nothing. But, you know, I think we do.
Yeah, because it all adds up pretty quickly. If you have a couple of children at home and you think, right, well, I'm going to give them swimming lessons, that's mm-hmm. an afternoon out, and maybe they might want to do music or follow that bent, that's another afternoon out. It is kind of difficult then to get them back into that free play.
That's right. I mean, I am a huge advocate of free, unstructured play. I mean, we take little Johnny, for example. He gets up, he's driven to school, he doesn't walk to school anymore. He goes to school, he has the formal learning, he's picked up from school, he goes and does a violin lesson, then he goes and kind of plays with his mate, then he comes home, does his homework, has a shower, dinner, bath, bed, and there's nowhere in that day for him just to be. Just to sit and be idle and reconnect with the outdoors. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to encourage people to do.
Which I love, but I let my children be and they come back pretty quickly with, I'm bored.
Yeah. And whenever my children say that, I say, that's good. My job here is done. Now go outside and find your own fun. And they will. I've never known a child, if you take away technology, and that's a big one, we can talk about that, but if you take away their technology and put them outside, they'll complain for about 5 or 10 minutes, but then they will find their own fun. They just will. You know, they don't. And I used to lock the door and they'd come and look at me with these big teary eyes. And I'd say, no, go. And they do. And then they, you know, engage with it. They make their own fun. So they'll build cubby houses or they'll have water play or they'll, you know, get some chalk and write on the footpath and so on. And very quickly, technology and indoors is forgotten.
Well, let's get on to technology, which is a bugbear for many, but also mm-hmm. seen as a saviour in some areas.
Yep.
I'm presuming you're not suggesting that technology is the root of all evil.
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm an early adopter of technology.
Mm. You're a blogger.
I am. I'm a blogger. You know, when I was writing my book, my kids said to me, oh, my God, you're on the computer all the time. And I thought, yeah, I am. I need to get outside. There's no getting away from technology. We don't even know what technology will be in, you know, 10, 15 years' time. And it's a huge part of our children's life from the minute they start primary school through, and even earlier sometimes. Mm. But so I'm not suggesting take it away, but I'm suggesting to find a balance. And I hate the word balance, but there's things that you can do, like suggesting they take their technology outside. So any handheld computer game, take it outside, lie them under a tree, and I guarantee within 10, 15 minutes they'll be looking at the tree or climbing the tree and they will have put the technology down. So, you know, it's little tricks and tips like that that, you know, can help get kids reconnected with their real world rather than their screen time. You make outdoors fun for them too, a bit of forward planning. So make the world a magical place outside. I used to, my daughter was fascinated with Harry Potter for a long time and I bought her a little Hedwig stuffed owl. And each night I used to take it out and put it somewhere different in the garden, a bit like that elf on the shelf.
Yeah.
And she became absolutely obsessed with going outside and finding Hedwig each morning and then wouldn't come back in. She'd take Hedwig and off she'd go and they'd play somewhere. So there's little tricks and tips that you can do, you know, to encourage it. But it's in our world. I mean, there's some terrible statistic that I think it's by 2027 there'll be 6 times more connected devices on the planet than there are people.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, really. So we do need to accept that it's there and just work within that.
Okay. Give me a ring on 1300 222 891. How were you connected to nature and the outdoor and just fun when you were a kid? And or alternatively, how do you help your children find that wonder in the everyday now? Cara Webster, talk to me about safety, though, because the fear factor is big. In the paper today, yeah. Trauma specialists say it's simply not safe for kids to jump on a trampoline together.
Honestly, they'll only do it once, you know. They'll tumble off, they'll learn not to do it. I think we are protecting our children a bit much. And the media has a little part to, you know, play in making parents more, or carers more nervous about the outdoors. I mean, we're told that, you know, our children are going to be abducted. And of course, that happens and it's terrible. But it seems to there's a greater focus on it when it does. And statistically, our children are safer from that happening than we were in our days. You know, they're terrified they're going to get hit by a car. Statistically, there are more cars on the road. So there's things that, you know, people should be doing. You know, our urban planners should be making more kind of green paths so kids can walk to school and not have to cross a road and so on. But I do think we tend to worry too much about it, and that the media has a little part to play in that.
Do you think it's too late? I mean, if you look at everything from what you've said there about everything from urban planning to changing our social emphasis on what's important to the fact that our, you know, we have fat children. Has the horse already bolted?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in all the people I talk to, you know, they a sense that people are wanting a shift back to simplicity and a more mindful life. And I don't mean, you know, countless yoga classes or meditation classes and, you know, so on and so forth. Just that they're looking for simplicity and wonder around them. And, you know, they forget that it doesn't cost a thing. We just need to know where and how to look, and it's easy to achieve. I don't think the horse has bolted at all. I mean, you know, but I've got a list as long as my arm, Ali, on the reasons we should be doing it. You know, they need to get sunshine every day for vitamin D, otherwise they're going to get rickets. And you talk about obesity. Yeah, I mean, if they're outside, they're more likely to be jumping, skipping, you know, kicking, etc. So that can be alleviated.
So the irony, and I don't know if anyone else has experienced this, when I was a child, it had this, sounds like a very similar upbringing to you, was just sent out, go and do whatever it is, don't come in until it's dinner time. You know, and there's a big old kadaji tree out the front of our house, and I'd be climbing up and down that. I mean, when we went to the beach, I would be down there for 7 hours by myself.
We used to find our horses by candlelight, not that old, torchlight, and we'd be gone, off for the entire day. I don't get a sense that that's lost entirely. I do think there are lots of parents that get the value of outdoor play and seeking wonder and slow parenting and so on. But I do think it's good to have a little reminder there every now and then about the importance of it.
But here is the irony that I was getting to, in that now my parents with my grandchildren, bubble wrap these kids up because something might happen with me. It was like, yeah, go out there, you know, you'll be fine. But they're with the grandchildren.
They're grandchildren, and that's their job. You know, they're supposed to spoil them and fill them full of lollies and then return them.
What about the criticism you get as a parent? Oh, don't let them do that. They could hurt themselves. You know, come on now.
Just ignore that. You know, and remind my mother that she let me climb to the top of the tree and I promptly fell out. So, you know, there's a balance and everything, isn't there?
You're listening to 891 ABC Adelaide. This is the Mornings program, and I'm Ali Clark, and my guest is Cara Webster, who is an author and award-winning blogger. She has a book called Cara & Co, Helping Kids Find Wonder in the Everyday, and there's lots of easy outdoor and indoor activities to inspire kids of all ages. Give me an example of some, Cara. What is a foolproof one that always works, do you think?
For getting kids outside?
Yeah, besides locking the door and not letting them back in, which I also like.
That is a good starting point. I mean, there's a couple of things you can do, and I talked about the magical. So, you know, making the outdoors magical for them can be simple. It can be as simple as putting some fairy glitter on a plant and saying there must be fairies about, or, you know, some white pebbles means dragon poo, whatever it is. I mean, they're far more likely to engage with the practical if you make it that bit magical. We've talked about taking technology outside. One of the big ones is to practice what you preach and lead by example. So if you're showing your children that outdoors matters, simply by going for a walk, heading to the park, having a game of tennis, kicking a footy in the back garden with them. They'll innately learn the importance of spending time outside. And then the other thing too is to give them one job, and it might be anything from tending a veggie patch to regularly picking flowers to raking the leaves, etc., etc. If you do that and let them do it by themselves, they start to feel more empowered and capable, and they get a big sense of accomplishment, and they're then more likely to want to return to the outdoors.
Mm. Yeah, well, you're speaking to a mother who has an eldest daughter of 6 with a broken arm at the moment, so uh-huh. I think
we wrap it in plastic and let her go.
Oh yeah, don't worry about that. Ruby from Walkerville is a registered nurse, and she says many kids have myopia as they're looking at screens
yes.
too much and
yeah,
not getting
absolutely.
Outside and using their long vision.
Absolutely, there's a big study that shows that, you know, that they're not, because they're focusing a lot of screen time, they're not focusing, their eyes aren't focusing on various lengths during the day, and there's been a marked increase in myopia. So yeah, no, that's another thing to be aware of.
Yeah,
and there's all sorts of studies, Ali. You know, things, if kids spend, or if anyone spends time outside, depression can be minimised, and you know, there's studies that show that. You know, there's other studies that show about attention levels. If kids go out in older children, like late primary school children, if they go outside for a short period of time, their attention levels are increased when they come back inside to formal learning, mm-hmm. which can lead to, you know, increased academic scores further mm-hmm. down the track.
AJ has texted, there's a playground in Scotland where anything goes, firelighting, building,
yep.
ropes, nails. It's amazing, and we need thousands of them.
Absolutely. There's a couple of them. There's a few in America. I mean, Norway, Finland and so on, Scandinavian countries tend to lead the way with outdoor schools and rough and tumble playgrounds. And I'm a huge advocate of it. As I say, they only do it once. I mean, honestly, obviously there has to be safety guidelines, but, you know, they'll only, you know, stick their finger if they're making a big bonfire to toast marshmallows. If they get burnt, they learn. And they're not going to. It's highly unlikely that they're going to, you know, radically injure themselves in doing it.
And it comes down to that risk management.
Absolutely. You're teaching them about responsible risk taking. You're building resilience in them. Sometimes you're letting them fail if they do, you know, scratch themselves. But failure is good too. It's another lesson on how they, you know, become responsible adults going forward. And it's fun, Ali.
Yeah, that's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
We took the family up to the Flinders Ranges, and the first 24 hours I have never heard so much complaining.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was too hot and too dirty. And,
mm-hmm.
and I said to my husband right
no
away,
internet,
we're moving.
Mom.
Yeah, we're moving. We're moving straight away. We're getting out of the city. After that 24 hours buffer had happened, they were covered in dirt and scratches,
yep.
and it was so satisfying to put them to bed like that.
Absolutely.
And because they couldn't keep their eyes awake.
Well, that's another thing. You exhaust them, which is always handy.
Yeah.
you know, my son once spent a week in his pyjamas on school holidays without washing. We're blessed to have a farm. So we were down there. He was, you know, doing stock work in his pyjamas. He was filthy. He began to smell up at the back of my grandfather's old Corolla. But he loved it, you know, and it was a great thing to do. In the 10 years I've been writing about kids and outdoors and connection, I've interviewed probably around about 200 people, and I've asked them to name a moment when they experienced wonder. And probably about 90% of them have come back with a time that involves outdoors. And it's not necessarily a big thing. It's just they felt that they were by themselves. They felt that they were exploring. They were discovering something. They were empowered. It was simple as thinking they found gold in a creek at the back of their grandmother's property, or finding a bird's nest with bright blue eggs in it. No one had ever discovered that before. And they're the moments that people talk of. Mm. So that's why I've written the book, just to remind people that those are the simple, precious things, and they are easy to find. They are truly inexpensive. Most of the time they're free, and they're important.
Well, the book is Carol and Co, Helping Kids Find Wonder in the Everyday. Carol Webster, great to talk to you.
You too, Ali.
Thanks
Have
so
fun
much.
Today.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as I get out of here, not that I'm not having fun talking to you, but you know what I mean. Right.